The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Gospel of the Lord. Robin, our office manager, and I regularly laugh with each other about the joys of getting older. You know, the increasing aches and pains, the wrinkles, the memory challenges. One running joke between us is about the safe place we keep putting things so we can find them later. "Hey, Robin," I'll call out as I'm wandering around the office suite. "Any chance you remember the safe place I put the fill in the blank?" The object now missing might be the key to the garbage dumpster, a sticky note with the phone number I don't have written anywhere else, a piece of ivory we are saving for a repair that needs to be made to the organ keyboard. We usually end up finding the thing. You take the time and make the effort when it is important. Today, we hear a few stories from Jesus about the lost being found. These are often some of the first parables we teach young children because they really are quite straightforward. A man is off in the fields with his flock of sheep. He notices a lamb has wandered away, and so he leaves all the rest behind to go searching high and low until he finally finds the one out there, lost and alone. A woman, keeping track of her resources, notices that one of her 10 coins has gone missing. She too looks high and low, lighting a lamp, sweeping the house, searching carefully until she finds her lost coin again. Now, I remember learning about these lost sheep and lost coins back in the day when teachers used felt characters that somehow magically stuck to flannel storyboards. Anybody remember those? I think some of you do. The first time these stories were ever told was not to a bunch of cute little kids during Sunday school. It was to a rather tough crowd. You see, Jesus has been welcoming to the wrong kind of folks, at least according to the religious experts of his day. By this point in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees and scribes are appalled by who is coming near to listen to him. Tax collectors, despised for taking unjustly from their own Jewish community to fill the coffers of the Roman Empire. And sinners, that covered a whole host of unsavory characters, unclean, impure, unrighteous, kind, no self-respecting person of faith should allow near them, let alone eat with. What a motley crew, the pious Pharisees and scribes observe gathered around Jesus. Fishermen, women of ill repute, collaborators with the oppressive government, children, the poor, the blind, the crippled, people who had been healed, people who still needed healing. Now, as often happens, Jesus is also observing the observers. Sometimes when Jesus is critiqued by the Pharisees and scribes, he confronts them head on, telling them they are being hypocrites or calling them out for their self-righteousness. This time, Jesus does something a bit different. Religious leaders watching from afar, judging and condemning, well, Jesus kind of invites them in. Hey, I've got a question for you fellows over there. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Which one of you does not do this? Well, no one rational actually does this. Leaving 99 animals, virtually your whole flock, in the wilderness to go find one missing sheep? And who would call together her friends and neighbors, which in that day would always mean showing hospitality with food and drink, to celebrate finding the money she's now spending on the celebration? It's such wonderfully crazy behavior. And by telling these stories to the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus is welcoming them to be a part of the wonderful craziness. To the guys drawing lines between who is in and who is out, Jesus offers a different way, an invitation to rejoice with heaven that the lost are being found and welcomed back. Which one of you does not do this, he says, giving them an opening, a chance to join the party. What the scribes and Pharisees can't see, and Jesus can, is that they are just as lost as the sheep, the coin, the tax collector, the leper, the prostitute, the man possessed by demons. For the Pharisees and scribes think they have to earn their way to God, follow all the rules, and do all the right things so they will be worthy to be loved. Yes, they too are lost, unable to see the gracious, extravagant, unconditional love and forgiveness of God, unable to understand that divine and holy love and forgiveness has come near to them, as near as the man Jesus sitting over there welcoming sinners and eating with them. Since my week at the U.S. Army War College earlier this summer, I've been digging into some military history, mostly about World War II. But I recently came across a story from the Vietnam War that stuck with me. Navy pilot, Lieutenant J.G. Junior Grade Larry Duthy, was shot down over Vietnam in 1967. After ejecting from his plane, he found himself alone in enemy territory with a shattered knee. As he waited to be captured, he recited his name, rank, and serial number over and over again, preparing himself to be a prisoner of war. But something different happened. American helicopters flew into the area to retrieve him. After 2 brutal days of fighting, Duthy was rescued. He made it home. He was saved. But 5 Navy sailors died trying to save him and the other pilot downed with him. Not long ago, remains of four of those sailors were recovered, returned to the United States, and buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Duthy attended the funeral, along with members of the sailors' families, honoring the sacrifice made 50 years before to find him and bring him back home. I find stories like that so powerful. Stories of people who will do anything, including risk and sometimes lose their own lives, to make sure no one is left behind or abandoned. And then I think of the best one of those stories, of a God who is so crazily, wonderfully in love with us, that God will do anything, anything to come and find us. Even if it means being born as a little baby, flesh and blood, even if it means growing up to suffer and die on a cross, even if it means that. And then, in this best story of all, the God who has come to find us and claim us offers us lost children a safe place to call home. This community of sinners, of saints, of the self-righteous, of the bowed down, of the haughty, of the desperately messed up, of the Pharisees and the scribes, the humble and the proud, the community where we are gathered together to be welcomed and loved, forgiven and fed. A community where we get the chance to rejoice with the angels for all who have been found. And where we are blessed and sent out week after week after week to speak God's amazing grace to those still waiting to hear it. Amen.